And good morning. It's good to be with you this beautiful day. I get calls all the time, and one of the requests that I had, well, actually, it had to do with pain. I didn't have a chance to look up the articles, but I want to say maybe a couple of months back, I covered a supplement called PEA. And sometimes I don't really know who's listening to the program and who's actually saying, okay, I'm going to give it a shot. But I've had more people make comments on taking the supplement PEA. It's spelled like, I'm going to go out into the garden and pick a pea. Okay? But I've had more either text or people contact me saying it has dramatically improved them. So that's for the purpose of dealing with pain. Okay? I think you and I are on the same page on this topic. We understand that we're not going to live forever. I'm not trying to be foolish and tell everybody to focus your entire life on improving your health, but I think we come to an understanding that if your body is in good enough working condition, that's your ticket to doing everything that you really want to do. Or, maybe more importantly, if God has given you a unique skill set and He's given you a purpose and a meaning for your life, well, I want whatever measure of health that you have to be good enough to where you can do all those things that God has set in place for you. It's still up to you to do them, right? And so what I want to do is I want to spend a little time talking about ways that you can improve yourself. The first one may come across as vanity, but it's really not. But it may seem that way at first. Okay. I would say that I'm a curious person. I like reading. And I think it's good that we gain knowledge and thus apply it in various ways. And that would be probably wisdom, right? Okay. So this first one I came across, the reason that it got my attention is because it came from Japan. And as you've heard me say before, one of the reasons that I like to pay attention to these things that come from Japan is because they could basically care less what the Food and Drug Administration is going to say, or what a drug company is going to say about their findings. They're not writing studies. They're not publishing papers based on how much money can I get from the drug companies if I write the study. Anyway, you get where I'm coming from. So I'm not saying they're not biased. I mean, everybody has some biases, but just like I do. I am totally against anything that destroys and poisons the human cells. Some of these things that the people consume are just a disaster. Absolutely a disaster. And there's no lack of people that are willing to recommend them or give them. Anyway, you know I'm talking about drugs. So let me... And drugs are important. They can be life-saving. If somebody's got double pneumonia and they cannot breathe, yes, I think that's an excellent application for something like antibiotics that are specific to cure the infection, right? Okay, that's not my words. That's the words of studies. What if somebody has so much gunk in their lungs and they can't breathe that they might need for a very short season some steroids? I get that. Okay. But what I'm talking about is, I'm talking about day in, day out, how do we improve the health of a human being? So here's a study from Japan, and I want you to listen to this. I'm not going to read all of it to you, but there's some highlights that I think are important. They say that a supplement that contains cinnamon is one of the most pleasant-smelling, delicious spices on the planet, if you ask me. I actually have very fond memories of cinnamon on toast as a child. It's funny how you can think back and remember things from your childhood. Okay, here it is right here. A cinnamon supplement can help against skin aging, conclude biochemists at Osaka Prefecture University in Japan, from a study in which they exposed skin cells to extracts of 10 edible herbs in a test tube, because I wanted to find out what's going to happen. Okay? So at first glance, you may seem like, oh, you're just focusing on the skin. Well, your skin is your outer covering. It's a very large, very unique organ system. I think it's fascinating to study the skin. I haven't a clue everything that it does, but then again, neither do you. But we're learning. So, listen to this right here. Okay, they talk about young skin, and then they mention the word collagen. You've heard of collagen. If you go to the grocery store, the health food store, other stores, you're going to find out that they sell collagen now. I don't know that that stuff was really on the market shelves or for sale 30 years ago. I don't remember it anyway. So they go on to say that if you're a supplements or a cosmetics manufacturer looking for products to reduce skin aging, well, there are two factors that you need to take into account. One is collagen, and the other one is called IGF-1. That stands for insulin growth factor 1. And so as long as you understand that your skin, it owes its suppleness and youthfulness to a high level of what's called collagen synthesis. Collagen is the framework for everything in the body, including the skin. And so, two things. Number one, you got to have enough of it, and you got to have enough quality collagen synthesis, okay? Synthesis just refers to how can your body do its job by trying to keep the skin in good repair. So as damage takes place, you want to repair it, don't you? Okay. So your skin cells, they have to synthesize collagen. And the hormone that stimulates the skin cells to produce collagen is called IGF-1, or insulin growth factor 1. Okay, that's probably about as technical as I need to be this morning. Here's a study right here. So there are indications that molecules in our food, they can either enhance the effect of insulin, which in many respects resembles the effect of insulin growth factor 1. And that's why these researchers wondered whether or not they could find these molecules in edible herbs, herbs that are common, that you can get anywhere. Okay, here's the results. When the Japanese exposed skin cells to 10 different herb extracts and test tubes, they noticed that fenugreek, cinnamon, and cumin in particular, boosted collagen production. Now, I looked it up. I could not find if it was just regular cumin or if it was black cumin. Black cumin is something that I'm very interested in studying. As a matter of fact, I purchased a book for like $6 used that covers the topic of cumin, and I'm finding it interesting so far. Okay, basically, you can't see the chart or the graph that I'm looking at, but it shows which is going to be the most effective at stimulating your body to grow brand new collagen and repair the skin, to make the skin softer, more supple. It just looks a lot healthier. And so what they have is, and I don't mind telling you, I'm reading it right here. There's a spice called mace. They tried black pepper, fenugreek, nutmeg, garlic, saffron. Always like to read about saffron. Turmeric, that's another interesting one. Paprika. I could probably do a whole program just on paprika. It's very interesting. Then they tried cinnamon and cumin. Okay, so there's 10 spices there, and they're just trying to figure out if we put these spices in some concentration in a test tube with human skin cells, what's going to cause the skin cells to actually do the very best job they can at boosting collagen production or healing the skin. Okay, and I'm just going to cut to the chase right here. They show all these extracts that come from cinnamon. I'm not even going to try to mention all of them. But when they used cinnamon that came from a country called Sri Lanka, now that's the one that seemed to boost collagen production the most. This is what the researchers discovered. They noticed that one particular compound, in particular, enhanced collagen synthesis that the researchers uncovered. It's called cinnamaldehyde. I'll say that again, cinnamaldehyde. But where does it come from? It comes from cinnamon, okay? Yes, I'm looking at all these. You can't see the chart that I'm looking at, but the compound called cinnamaldehyde that's found in the, from cinnamon or in cinnamon, that's the one that seemed to improve the most. Anyway, I'm going to skip all the technical jargon of the study. Here's what the researchers wrote at the very end. And sometimes I like looking at the researchers' comments. I just want to know what their thoughts are. And I'm going to quote here, in quotation marks, "Our findings could be helpful in proving the signs and symptoms of aging skin, since a reduction in dermal collagen production is considered to be its principal cause," the researchers conclude. Then they talk some more about cinnamaldehyde and all the different chemicals. I don't think you want to hear all that. Anyway, what is your takeaway? Cinnamon. Isn't that interesting? Now, I know for a fact you can't overdose on cinnamon. It can cause a problem, but I don't think that's going to happen. Yes, there are some people that do crazy things. Don't snort cinnamon up your nose. Don't take a big spoonful and pop it in your mouth. You're asking for it. Please don't do that. Anyway. So after I read that, I thought, okay, what else can I discover about this? And so I looked up another article, and this one came from the year 2016, but this is interesting also. Now, you know as well as I do, if I haven't seen somebody in, say, 10 years, and I'm out in public and I see their face and I recognize them, sometimes it takes me a while to figure out what their name is. I mean, surely I'm not the only one that happens to. I could actually see somebody that I know, but I just haven't talked to them in 10 years or haven't come in contact with them, and you see them again and go, "Hey, it's good to see you. What's your name again?" Or refresh my memory. But, you know, they're in the same boat as I am, probably. Anyway, unless you have a easy name to remember like Roy. Okay. In this study right here, I find this so interesting. They're finding out that, do you know what short-term memory is? Okay, I'm kind of getting off track here. I apologize. Short-term memory is being able to, actually, let me start over here. If you have a relative, or maybe it's you, and they're concerned about your short-term memory and your ability to process and remember things and to function cognitively, one test that is available is called an MRI. That stands for magnetic resonance imaging. And so one structure that they look at is they look at a structure in the brain called the hippocampus. Okay, that's actually part of the limbic system, so it's kind of one of the ways that you process your emotions. So what if a person is aging and they become increasingly fearful and very irritable and they worry? Well, that would be a sign that their hippocampus is probably not in great working order. But how do they determine if somebody has Alzheimer's or dementia? I'm changing the topic, sorry. Well, they notice if the hippocampus actually shrinks or atrophies by about 18 to 20%, if I'm not mistaken, that they can say, bingo, they have Alzheimer's. And folks, you know as well as I do, if you lose a significant amount of your brain function, if some of the neurons die or the nerve cells, they disappear and go away because they're in shrinkage mode, how could your brain be working better? Because no, what you want is you want to grow more neurons. Anyway, you don't want your brain being 20% smaller. You want it 20% larger because you want to put it to use. Remember, there's work to do. Okay, so here we go. They kind of build the case here that one of the things that you see in what's called pre-diabetes, and when I say pre-diabetes, I'm not referring to people that already have a diagnosis of diabetes. Okay, you get that. What is a diagnosis of diabetes? I think it's when you're fasting blood sugar is 126 milligrams per deciliter. So if your glucose is at 126 on two different occasions when you're fasting, bingo, you got diabetes. I promise you, you don't want diabetes. But pre-diabetes is a little bit different. I've read many articles, and I don't know that I agree with all of them, because what we're supposed to do, all physicians and nurses and healthcare providers are supposed to help you improve your health and not wait for your health to deteriorate. So if somebody says, my blood sugar on average is 106, well, that's considered pre-diabetic by the experts. But I'm going to say it a little bit differently. If your fasting blood sugar usually runs between 80 and 90, that's probably like a very, very good number. That's a good place. That means you metabolically have really good health. Hormones are probably balanced. Not in every situation, but as a general rule, if your fasting blood sugar is hitting between 80 and 90, that's a good number. Okay? So what if your blood sugar starts hitting between 90 and 100? Let's just say it's 94, 96, 98. To me, I think that I'd be foolish if I ignored that. I think it's my job to pay attention to that, and that's why I'm telling you to pay attention to it also. That's a sign that your hormone fitness or your metabolism is getting out of whack. And so when's the best time to take action? Once your fasting blood sugar is 325 in the morning, or when it's 102 or 98? Well, obviously, the sooner the better, right? Well, what they're demonstrating is they did a study and they showed that in pre-diabetics, this is actually when they start to see a person's memory deteriorate. Okay? They're not even showing or demonstrating, let's wait till a person's diabetic and now let's measure their memory. Of course it's deteriorating. But they want to ask the question, can they give these people cinnamon if you're a pre-diabetic and see any improvements whatsoever? Okay. And so there was a study done, Taiwanese and Chinese researchers, they tried to find out in a very small epidemiological study whether their theory of giving cinnamon improves the memory and the insulin sensitivity. So, I don't know if you've ever heard the term insulin resistance, but if your blood sugar is consistently above 90 or 100, most likely you have insulin resistance. The formula that's usually used, I've got Randy's calculator right here in my hand. The formula that's usually used is you take triglycerides and you divide that by the HDL. And so let's just say, for example, that your triglyceride levels were 150, and yes, that's higher than what it should be, but I see that number so commonly that just kind of flows off the tongue pretty easily. If I take 150 and I divide that by a person's HDL, let me just say 35, I come up with a number 4.28. Okay? As a general rule, you can tell if you have insulin resistance and you're heading toward diabetes if that hits 4.1 or above. Okay? Okay. You know what? When I was in school, teachers can't teach you everything that you need to know. They just can't. But they can give you a foundation. And once you're out in the real world, that's where you can start really learning on your own. But you have to have an honest desire to be a seeker of truth and knowledge and wisdom. So here's a study right here. The researchers studied 93 people over the age of 60, okay? I listened to the new study this morning about the two times of a person's life where they start aging. There's like a significant aging issue. It's at 44 and 60. Anyway, they had other numbers, 66 and 75. Anyway, that's a topic for another day. The researcher studied 93 people over the age of 60 with a relatively high glucose level who were otherwise healthy. Okay, I'm liking this. 78 of these people had never used cinnamon before, but the remaining 15 study participants, they actually did. They said that the cinnamon users did not differ significantly from the non-cinnamon users in terms of health parameters that were measured. I don't know what those were, but they couldn't really, find a huge difference anyway. So what they did was, the researchers showed the study participants a series of four numbers, okay? They did it three different times, and so I don't know what that was, other than maybe it's 1,674, and then 1,332, and then 648, and then 99. But they showed them those series of four numbers three times, and they asked the subjects in the study, or the participants, just to reproduce the numbers. if they did this well, they received 1 point per series. So, in total, the study participants could therefore score a maximum of 3 points. Anyway, this was the result right here. This may not seem like a big, huge deal, but it really is. So the cinnamon users scored a 2.9. So the maximum score would have been a 3, though the non-users were 2.6. And so the researchers then calculated the relationship between memory scores and all measured variables. So when they corrected their data for all possible measured factors, they found that there were two factors that determined memory scores. Now get this right here. Number one was education. Did you get that? And then cinnamon use. Have you ever heard the phrase, if you don't use it, you lose it? What if you spend your entire day just watching television or on Facebook or just watching television? I have people tell me stories all the time. Then I just think, how does that work? But so, like, if they're describing the activities of a, let's just say, a relative, and all they do is watch television and sit down all day long, well, that's pretty self-explanatory. You kind of know where they're coming from. If you do not use your brain, continue trying to learn something new, then you're asking for your brain to suffer. Okay, it's not surprising, I'm reading what the researcher says, that education has a positive effect on short-term memory. They go on to say that highly educated people simply use their short-term memory more often. Well, I think that's probably true. However, the positive effect of using cinnamon was significantly stronger. See, isn't that amazing? Why am I talking about this? Because this would be so inexpensive, so easy. You know what the three universal healers are? Time, patience, and consistency. So whatever you do, you want to do it consistently. Okay? The rest of this article is really, really technical, so I'm not going to go into it. But here's what they said. Cinnamon contains two compounds that they find interesting when it comes to improving short-term memory. One's called eugenol, and the other one's called cinnamaldehyde. I hope I said that right. These substances inhibit the enzyme COX-2 and thus inhibit the inflammatory process. Isn't that interesting? They're finding out that cinnamon might have something to do with getting rid of inflammation in the human body. Because inflammation, if you want to age your body fast, if you want to develop diabetes, if you want to have heart disease or cancer, inflammation is a pretty big driver. Okay, I've just looked at the clock. I've been talking quite a bit. So the phone number of the station is 903-589-8507. If you'll call that number, I can get you in. If you call the other number, I cannot. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yes. I want to know, Dr. Morgan, do you know anything about how to shrink a swollen prostate?
Well, I can give you some ideas. If you started the process of walking, and I'm thinking the study that I'm thinking referring to comes from Canada, I want to say they walked for 40 minutes a day. I might be wrong by a minute or two. It might have been 42 minutes. But after 3 months of walking for 40 minutes every day, they noticed that all the prostate markers started to go down, and the prostate began to shrink some.
Okay.
And technically that's free.
Yeah, that is. I mean, I've read a lot of things about, you know, using super beta prostate. You know, you hear all these commercials.
Yeah.
All that different stuff. And see the stuff. And I've tried all of that, and none of that stuff worked.
Okay, well, the real problem is there's probably too much. There's a hormone imbalance. Most likely you've got high levels of aromatase. It's just messing up all your hormones. But the hormone that tells your body to grow is insulin. So if you go to the doctor anytime in the near future, you actually don't have to. You can go to the lab anytime you want and get these blood tests drawn. But what I would do is I would look at two or three things. There's a blood test called fasting insulin. That means before you go to the lab, you can drink all the water you want, but you don't drink three cups of coffee. You don't drink herbal tea. Just drink water and find out what your fasting insulin levels are. If you want your prostate to swell, get your fasting insulin levels above the number 5. If you want it to shrink, get it at 5 or below. So that's one thing. So I know for a fact, if you want to make the prostate enlarge, eat refined sugar.
Okay.
Now, one of the things...
I pretty much cut all that out.
Well, you sound like a highly motivated man.
Well, I am, because I'm tired of having to go to the bathroom, you know, 20 times a day, and, you know, never really fully emptying the bladder.
Have they... I'm going to say this kind of in a different sort of way. I know of a doctor that back in 1992, he saw 14 men that had really swollen prostates. And what he did was, he told them to get a prostate fluid specimen and send it to the laboratory, and every single one of them, they had an infection. So how do we know that you don't have an infection of the prostate?
Well, see, I've had cancer, and when they did the CT scans, that's when they noticed all of that. And, they, you know, the doctor told me that I had a swollen prostate, and, you know, he said, got to keep an eye on it because eventually it could turn into prostate cancer too.
Well, what does he mean, keep an eye on it? What does that entail?
Well,
just watching and waiting?
I don't know.
Well, I don't know either. I don't like that, though. I'd rather take action. So let me give you some action steps, okay?
Okay.
There's a substance called bee pollen. You could probably find it in any store. It looks like a little bitty yellowish. Sometimes they look like slightly green, maybe slightly brown, even kind of a reddish color. They're just granules of pollen. Does that make sense?
Right. Mm-hmm.
If you take it just in the loose granules, that seems to be one thing that tends to target the healing of the prostate. So if you took a spoonful a day, just chew them up, swallow them. I don't think they taste bad personally. And so that's been shown to target that. Another technique is called a sitz bath, S-I-T-Z. You can look that up on YouTube, and that's a technique used to reduce the swelling of the prostate. There's an herb called saw palmetto. The trick is finding the Goldilocks just right dose of it. So if the manufacturer says take 2 gel caps a day, you might try 3 or 4 to see if one of them over the next few weeks starts to give you some relief. Now, the bee pollen, that takes a little time for it to work. You got to give it probably like about 2 months because this is a hormone issue, or part of it is. But if the doctor did a blood test called a complete blood count, normally that should tell you if there's a potential for having some type of a chronic infection. But in my mind, I have got to consider that there's a chronic low-grade infection in the prostate. I know this sounds bizarre, but that's what I would look at.
Okay. Well, I was wondering if I came in, I've got blood work recent that I had.
Yeah, that would be all good to look at. Yeah. Right, yeah, let's just kind of pour through all of it, see what clues we can figure out.
Okay, I may try to come in next week then and see if we can.
Well,
I've got an appointment with a urologist, and I'm not looking forward to that.
Well, what's the number one deal? Not being able to get up multiple times now to go to the bathroom?
Well, what I do is I quit drinking water, you know, say after 7 o'clock. So I usually go to the bathroom just one time a night now.
Can you?
It's usually around 2 or 3 o'clock, and that's it.
Can you make a strong stream?
Sometimes, and sometimes it isn't.
Okay, so that is hopeful that at some times the conditions are right for better urine flow. Other times it's a little bit more inflamed. And so we want to find out what's the source of the inflammation. But in the meantime, I can tell you, can I give you kind of a couple of weird ideas, but I think they could prove to be beneficial?
Sure.
Okay. If you were willing to eat 1 cup of blueberries a day, I'm just talking about blueberries. You can actually go to the grocery store now and purchase organic blueberries that have been sprayed with chemical pesticides and residues. But I think that might be something that might actually help you.
Okay.
So let me know what you think about these things. I wish you the very best.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. And I'll make an appointment to come in and see you sometime this week. And I'll bring the blood results in.
All right. Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks a lot.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. All right. The phone line is once again open. It's 903-589-8507. Like anything else, what you want to do is you don't want to be in the business of, well, here I am telling you what to do. if all you do is watch and wait, that's not the same as learning, studying, and taking action to help yourself. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning, Dr. Morgan.
Good morning, sir.
I have a question that you may not want to undertake.
Oh, this is this is starting off really great.
I've been getting a flood of emails pertaining to...
You've got to turn the radio off. I can't hear anything you're saying. As long as the radio's on, I'm toast.
I'm on my way. I'm real fast. You know,
thanks.
I apologize for that.
Nope, that's all right.
I'm a radio operator, and that shouldn't have happened.
No big deal. Don't worry about it. So you've had a flood of emails.
And it's just almost every day, and I've talked to other people, and they're getting them too. Is my radio still interfering?
Just a little bit, but keep going. Did you actually turn it off?
I turned one off.
Okay, well, might have to turn all of them off.
I apologize.
No, that's all right.
Ham radio operators are not supposed to do that. what I'm trying to figure out is, and I don't have a problem with this, but I'm getting a flood of emails every day from different people that are supposed to be well-known pertaining to ED. And I'm trying to figure out if any of these are legitimate, right, they're just all snake oil. And I went down to Goodwill the other day. I've been looking for a hand-tooled leather Western cowboy belt, and I finally found one at Goodwill.
You've got to be kidding me.
Really, I did.
That'd be the last place I'd look. good for you. You found a treasure.
And, I bought it, and it's a real nice Western belt, hand tool. But on the back of this belt, somebody's name is Ed. And I got to thinking about it. I'm going to just make a chance, call Dr. Morgan, ask him if he has anything to say pertaining to Ed or ED.
Okay, well, I'm going to say this about five or six different ways. Number one, you've got to have a healthy prostate. That's one of the regulators. The other one, actually, let me just focus on this one topic right here, because I think it probably relates to every human being, whether you're male or female. Not necessarily just for the topic of ED, but there's a lining inside the capillary bed called the glycolax. And that lining, if it loses its health and it becomes inflamed, then that pretty much kills your ability to manufacture a substance called nitric oxide. I'm only using nitric oxide as my example because almost all the drugs, whether it's Cialis or whether it's Viagra, what they do is they momentarily increase nitric oxide levels. And what that does is it vastly increases blood flow and circulation. So that's how that works. So if I say it in reverse, if a person has ED, that means that the lining of their arteries they're sick, they're inflamed. And what we want to do is get them back in good repair. So there's several ways of doing that. And I'm going to cover the whole gamut. Number one, studies have shown that if you use toothpaste that contains fluoride, you're killing the bacteria or the flora in your mouth that react with what are called nitrates that are found in your food, and that kills your production of nitric oxide. So the end result is blood pressure always goes up when you use fluoridated toothpaste. I don't think any dentists are going to like anything that I'm saying this morning. Anyway, let me get back to the topic. The other thing that's been shown, there's actually been studies on this. If a person routinely uses any type of a mouthwash, all you're doing with the mouthwash is you're completely killing and destroying all the good beneficial bacteria. If you don't have those beneficial microbes, then you can't convert the nitrates in food into nitric oxide. So I think one study showed that if a person uses mouthwash, it only takes 4 days for their blood pressure to go up. So how many people do you know of that use Listerine or mouthwash every single day? A bunch of people.
Yeah.
So that's not you, though, is it?
No, sir.
Okay, so if you look at foods that are a great source of nitrates, one of the simplest ones that's like a home run from the word go would be beets. And so that's where somebody could go and get, beet powder, or they could take a supplement that contains beets. I'm just kind of that's a fan of the beet powder. What'd you say?
That's hard to beat.
You know what? I hadn't thought about that, but that makes sense. That is hard to beat. That was a good one. So if you started taking beet powder every single day, what you're doing is you're making it easier for your body to make nitric oxide. One study that I looked at recently showed that nitric oxide levels, nitric oxide, it helps dilate and open up the blood vessels instead of the blood flow being constricted and narrowed where you can't get enough blood. That's really the problem of aging, is you just can't get enough blood to where it needs to go, whether it's the brain or the little toe. But beet powder is one of the greatest ones. The other one is just getting enough time in the sunshine. If your idea of sunlight is just walking outside with a long sleeve shirt on, a cowboy hat, your Western belt, and boots, you're probably not getting enough sunlight. So do you ever go outside and just sunbathe, maybe when the rays are not so terribly intense?
Pretty near every day in my shorts only. And I walk down a country road so I don't have to worry about it.
Do you have neighbors?
Not in this road. It's kind of unique. It's the most prettiest over canopy type tree-covered road dead end for about a mile down that anybody could ask for.
Oh, my goodness. Well, isn't that a blessing? So what you can...
Now, you know what? You know what else I've done? I have walked that whole road barefooted.
Now, I haven't gotten to this yet, but it's really the same topic. But this morning, I was looking up research about cinnamon, and I went to an article published by the National Institutes of Health, and I don't remember who the author was of the study. I didn't look at that part. But they said specifically that they were having very good success using cinnamon to treat heart disease. And I thought, okay, is that inflammation? And they said, no, it increases nitric oxide production. So as a human being ages, they produce less and less nitric oxide. And so it's in your best interest as you age to make it as easy as possible for your body to produce nitric oxide. That's why I told you to get rid of the fluoride toothpaste. That's easy, isn't it? Okay, so cinnamon has been shown to increase nitric oxide. Now, if you ask me a highly intelligent question like, give me a number, I can't because I don't remember reading that in the article. I was just kind of scanning for things that it covered, but I didn't get that one down.
Yeah.
But I'm sure I could look it up, though. But if you made a daily effort to put beets, and for example, I've got a cup of dandelion root tea waiting on me at my office, but I like that stuff, though. Yeah. I like it. Not everybody does. Mm-hmm. But I could easily take a big heaping spoonful of what's called organic beet juice powder.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it's going to make the tea look blood red, right?
Yes.
Isn't it interesting? It's blood red, and what does it help? It helps your blood. And so everything's based on trying to get the blood vessels back in good repair. Now, I'm going to do my best not to be... This is a family program, so I'm going to try to use code talk, okay?
Sure, I appreciate it.
Okay, so if a man wakes up at 5 o'clock in the morning and he no longer has, blood flow to that area, he knows it. But it's normal because... The male reproductive system, it doesn't do anything all day long. And so when it fills up with blood, that's a way of washing out old stagnant blood and debris from that area. So filling up with blood and then going back down again is just normal. I'm not trying to be a weirdo. It's just natural mechanism. But I've noticed I am a huge fan of buckwheat extract. Have you ever heard of a plant called buckwheat?
I'm a beekeeper, and I love it.
Do you love it more than your bees?
No, but they make good honey out of buckwheat.
So you're saying it's a mutual symbiotic relationship. They love the buckwheat, and you love the buckwheat, too.
True.
Okay, so buckwheat, if you take it in supplement form, that's something that I like very, very much because it contains properties. One of the properties, so I know I'm getting slightly distracted, but you said bees, but you know what propolis is, don't you?
Yes, sir. You were just talking about it, and I agree.
Okay, so propolis, they have discovered one of the reasons why it helps rejuvenate the kidneys when the kidneys are in failure is because it contains a high concentration of a flavonoid. It's an analog of quercetin. It's called rutin, R-U-T-I-N. And so what the reason I'm getting to this is the number one problem with all blood flow is you have reduced blood flow and you have the you start forming sticky little microclots everywhere. Rutin is something that helps dissolve those and break them up. So if we went off
kind of like Roto-Rooter?
Kinda.
Is it kind of like Roto-Rooter?
Yes. So well, in a simple term, yeah. So if you're trying to get your arteries back in good repair, number one, you've got to lower the insulin levels. You need your fasting insulin to be at 5 or below if you want to have any shot at repairing the arteries. So if your fasting insulin was like the number 20 or 24 or 30, it's going to be just nearly impossible because you can't overcome the effects of insulin. Insulin is telling your body to form plaque in the arteries. It's telling your body to cause your blood pressure to go up. It's reducing your blood flow. If you were Spanish, I would say no bueno. But anyway.
No bueno.
See? So you're looking at buckwheat extract is probably the greatest source of rutin that I know of. So if you start taking buckwheat tablets, I use a product called Saruta Plus. It's probably the easiest one that I know of. But you can start the process of repairing the arteries, and that's the only way that we know that we win with this is if you start functioning normally again. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Now, the other thing that I'm a huge fan of besides magnesium is cod liver oil.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how a person is going to age gracefully unless they take these essential fatty acids and you get them from cod liver oil.
Mm-hmm.
Your mother probably forced you at gunpoint to take cod liver oil as a child.
You know the old ways, too, don't you?
Yeah. Well, every mother that was really into taking care of her kids, she wanted to make sure her kids had the best chance of being healthy. And so if you look at the average American, their omega-3 index of their red blood cells is around 4%. That's just disease. But when you start getting it, when you double it to 8%, maybe upwards of 12%, you reduce the risk of any disease by 95%. Now, there's no drug that can do that.
Yeah.
Cod liver oil is the bomb. It's good to take it, but you got to take enough of it.
Yeah.
For most people, if you take 2 grams a day, you can improve yourself over 3 months. Now, if you take more than that, you get a little bit better result.
Mm-hmm. And you put it in the freezer to see if it's any good.
That's one of the things you can do, yeah, because the bottom line is cod liver oil is like antifreeze, you know, for codfish in the... Now, I'm going to ask a dumb question. When's the last time you've been to Antarctica?
I've never been there, but I've been to 75 below in Alaska.
Oh, you went to the other pole, right? Closer
yeah,
to...
I still have a homestead in North Pole.
How far is that from the Arctic Circle?
Well, it's not the geographical designation. It's 20 miles out of Fairbanks, North Pole, Alaska.
Is that basically the wilderness?
Once you're out of big cities like, you know, Fairbanks, you're back in the wilderness in Alaska because there's very few roads.
Well, what do you mean you still have a homestead there?
Well, I lived there 20 years, you know, and I kept the homestead that I got there in North Pole.
Do you have like a cabin there?
Yeah, I got a little cabin, and it's out in the woods. And once you're out of the city, you're back in the wilderness.
Could you go there right now and stay in that cabin?
Sure could, and I've been looking for somebody to go up there and go diving with me to gold, and I'll talk to you about it.
Now, what is gold exactly? I'm not sure on that concept. What color is it?
When you're panning for gold at one of the wild rivers, you better be careful, because if you get distracted when you find gold in your pan, I'm sure, quite sure, that's how a lot of the old prospectors got taken out by bears, because they get distracted and forget about looking around them, and it's gold. It's the golden color.
What is the dominant type of bear that's there in Alaska? Where you are?
Where we live. Where we lived in the interior, we have the brown bear and you know, the black bear. And when I lived up above the Arctic Circle, up in the village of Wiseman, we like to eat brown bear as well as black bear, because the salmon don't come up that far and that doesn't take the flavor of the brown bear.
So which one is your least favorite bear to encounter?
Sometimes those black bears can be real troublesome. I've had them when I would be out on my trap line. They're still not hibernating because they don't have enough fat. And those black bears can be pretty troublesome.
So they can have an attitude, right?
Yeah, if you see black bear tracks in the snow, it hadn't hibernated because it doesn't have enough fat.
You know what that means? That means they're hangry. Is that right?
That's right. That's right. You better hope you have your dog team out on your trap line instead of your snow machine, because the snow machine won't bark at the bears. Dog teams will.
I figured you would make a computer program and a loudspeaker to make a barking sound.
Yeah, I was playing the harmonica. One of the natives told me, says, I told him I was going hiking up in the village of Rampart on the Yukon River. And I'm going to take my harmonica and play in case there's bears. He says, one of the old elders, the Athabascan Indian, said, yeah, Orvin, bears love the harmonica playing.
Mm-hmm. It'll just bring them right into camp, huh? Well, yeah. Try those things and just remember what I told you, and we'll go from there, okay?
Okay, can I ask you one quick question?
Sure.
If you were looking at all these ads on the internet and you didn't have any problem with ads, would you recommend getting some of the nutrition that they advertise from, like, you know, Dr. Ben Carson is real famous.
I don't know what it is, though. Right now, you're kind of asking me a question based on, I can't research it right now to tell you yes or no. That's right. The whole reason why I told you. You've got to make sure that you get your omega-3s just right if you want to have good blood flow. I mentioned it briefly. You've got to supplement with magnesium, because the American diet just doesn't provide it. And when I mentioned buckwheat, I just gave you like a platinum gold star free gift, if you'll just take those to heart.
I'm going to take it and run with it.
Okay. All right. Good deal. So I don't know what the ads are selling, but you have to understand they've got to, I hate to say it this way, but most of these ads that come across the internet or the mail or emails, they are exaggerating so greatly, they would make you think if you take their magic supplement that it's going to heal everything.
I figured
even that. Leprosy, maybe, but there it just, I don't think I've ever seen it work out like they say. Like, take this and you'll have this. It's not as easy as that.
Right. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
I tell you what, that is one hard lesson that I've had to learn. If it sounds too good to be true, it's probably not true, right?
That's right.
Has anybody ever taken advantage of you and gotten money out of you because it sounded too good to be true?
Yeah, I got to be careful.
Yeah, and what happened? You lost money, right?
Yeah. Anyway. The hard way.
All right, thanks for your call, buddy.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
All right, there's a phone line open. There's plenty of time in the program. The phone number here at the radio station, this program is Health Essentials, by the way. The number is 903-589-8507. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Dr. Morgan, I have a question about my fingernails. They've been breaking real easy for about a year, I guess. But the bed of my nail, now the end of my finger that is white, like it's supposed to be.
You mean the moon?
No, I don't have any moons.
Well, that means you don't have any blood flow. That could be one of the reasons. You gotta have moons.
Well, when I was seeing my chiropractor, that's what he said, but it looked like I wasn't getting any oxygen.
Or less than adequate oxygen.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how nails get oxygen, but I went to my, he told me I should go to my primary care, and I did, and they're going to do a sonogram on my arms and all to make sure I'm getting, I guess that would be blood flow.
Well, I would say it differently. I would say if you started growing some moons, that would be an indication that what you're doing is correct and you're getting more blood flow to your nail beds. Because
how do I do that?
Well, let me tell you first the reason why I'm saying this.
Okay.
There is a scripture in the Old Testament, I think it's Leviticus chapter 17, but it says, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Now, that's probably a lot deeper than what I'm capable of explaining, but see, blood is what carries all the nutrients to your fingernails and your tips of your fingers and your toes. And so you want blood to be rich in oxygen and nutrients. And then the side effect is you can maintain the health of all the organs and tissues, including the nail beds. And so one of the ways you would do that is by exercise. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can I tell you the very first thing that I thought of, though? I wrote this down. I've got like a little sheet of paper where I'm just scribbling and making notes. I'm just kind of thinking on a sheet of paper. But if I had to guess right now, I'd say there's like a 95% chance that you're probably not manufacturing, your stomach is not making enough hydrochloric acid.
Okay.
Because hydrochloric acid, that's the basis for being able to break down and extract these nutrients from the food that you eat. So let's just say, for example, and some of this I'm just kind of making up, so just kind of play along with me, okay?
Okay.
If I told you that you have salmon on the lunch menu today, would salmon be easy for you to digest?
Yes.
Okay. What if I put a big ribeye steak in front of you? Would that be easy to digest?
It'd be harder.
Okay, and the reason why it's harder is because I started off the program talking about collagen repairing the skin and how they could use cinnamon to do that. But the point I'm getting to is if you took red meat like a T-bone steak, a ribeye steak, a roast, something of that nature, that's got the most collagen of any food that I know of. And so if your digestive juices are way too weak, if you don't produce enough acid, that's where red meat is going to present a challenge. It's going to stay there a lot longer because you can't break it down. So in a roundabout way, you're telling me that your stomach's not producing enough digestive enzymes or acids. Does that make sense?
Okay, yes.
Okay, so here's some of the things that you can play with. Do you know what apple cider vinegar is?
Oh, yes, I have some in my refrigerator.
Okay, some people get all the results they need just by taking a little shot of apple cider vinegar either before or during or after their meal. I mean, you can play with it anyway.
When you say a little shot, you talking about a tablespoon?
I would say starting at two.
A cup?
No. No. I'm sorry. That kind of made me laugh. No, I don't want you to take a fourth of a cup.
You needed a laugh this morning. They say laughter doctors the liver.
Well, you know what? I'm going to go with that. I think you're genius. So if you were to take somewhere between 2 teaspoons to maybe 1 tablespoon, that should do the job right there.
Okay.
And you can dilute that in a cup of tea if you wanted to. If you said, I'm going to have hibiscus tea with vinegar. If you do that, that may help lower the or change the, make your stomach more acidic is what I was getting after.
Okay.
So that could do it. Another thing that could do it is they have a supplement called Herbal Bitters. And you can buy those at health food stores. And sometimes taking that with your meal, that greatly helps stimulate better acid secretion so you can actually absorb the nutrients that you need to rebuild your fingernails.
Okay, now how much of that do I take? Is that like in a capsule form?
Yes, ma'am, it can be. It can be capsule, tablet, gel cap, or liquid, but just follow the manufacturer's recommendation on the bottle, and that should be good. The other one that I probably focus on more often than not is I supplement a person with hydrochloric acid. And so you can actually purchase hydrochloric acid at the health food store, or whether it's Granary, Drug Emporium, Natural Grocer, Sprout, something like that. They'll have on the shelf, they'll sell what's called betaine HCl, or hydrochloric acid. And so it's just a matter of just experimenting with it. And let me kind of tell you what I have in mind. Let's just say that you have a meal with a ribeye steak, and you say, I'm going to try taking one capsule or one tablet of hydrochloric acid. So when you swallow it, you want to find out how your stomach feels. Well, what if over the next couple of weeks you've experimented to the point where you're taking five per meal and you feel perfectly fine? There's no stress in your stomach. You don't have any burning. You don't have any acid. So if you take too much hydrochloric acid, you may have a little bit of tummy trouble. So that's where you would back off. But the reason I'm saying this is you're trying to find out what is the Goldilocks just right dose of hydrochloric acid to meet my needs. But see, this is one way we can completely change, revitalize the entirety of the gut just by taking hydrochloric acid. You really could. So that's the way that you repair fingernails. Because the fingernails and hair, that's just made of pure protein. And so hydrochloric acid. And by the way, if you ate a ribeye steak, I hope I don't offend a whole bunch of people, but almost every nutrient that you need is found in ribeye steaks, not in Kraft macaroni and cheese. I know that's a shock. Or I had a lady tell me not that long ago that she was so exhausted when she got home from work, she just had like a bag of potato chips. And I thought, oh, poor woman, I want to get her back to where she feels strong. But if you eat good, high-quality, grass-fed meat, that's something that has every nutrient in it that you need to rebuild your fingernails and your body.
Well, now, would that include, like, a ground meat?
Yes, it would.
Beef like that?
Yeah, that's a good idea you just had.
Okay, because I've got some of that in my freezer.
Well, then you've got everything that you need. But experimenting with either herbal bitters, apple cider vinegar to me is a home run.
Okay.
I don't see any reason not to recommend apple cider vinegar to every human being on the planet, just about.
Okay.
I mean, once you're past the age of 28 like I am, I'm just slightly past 28.
Mm-hmm. Like me.
Yeah, just a little bit, yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, I use apple cider vinegar to gargle with when I have a sore throat.
That is smart. And it works, doesn't it?
Oh, man, yeah.
Well, see, you gave a great health tip. I appreciate that. It's one of the greatest things you can do is gargle with half water and half vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good job.
Well, okay. So
thank you.
If I just do these things.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But it's gonna take time because you've got to absorb and do everything you can to exercise every day so you can improve your blood flow to your fingers.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much, ma'am. I appreciate you today.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye bye. All right. You're listening to Health Essentials. Lord willing, I will be back at this time next week at 8 o'clock. My name is Dr. Roy Morgan, and thank you for taking time from your schedule to listen to me.